President Joseph Fielding Smith is a member of the First Presidency, the President of the Council of 12 Apostles, a member of the Board of Trustees of Brigham Young University, and Chairman of the Executive Committee of this university's board. He's the son of President Joseph F. Smith, who was the 6th President of the Church. And he's the grandson of Hiram Smith, who was Patriarch to the Church and a brother of the Prophet Joseph. President Smith also serves as church historian and is known as an outstanding writer and authority on the Scriptures. President Smith has been an apostle for 58 years. He has a great love for young people. I guess that's why he's always kept so young. He has a great love for Brigham Young University. Now, brothers and sisters, it's a pleasure for me to introduce President Joseph Fielding Smith.
I'm here under orders. I'd much rather speak to you just as the Lord might indicate. But I have something written out. Perhaps is better than I could present to you if I did something else. So I'm going to read it. And yet I want to say this, I hope I'm not going to get into the habit of reading every speech. That I'm supposed to give at a state conference. Now, my dear brethren and sisters, I hope and pray that I might say something uplifting. There will be benefit to one and all. I have a great many letters that cross my desk in regard to questions or problems connected with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the blessings pertaining to our welfare here in this life and the blessings of eternal glory that will be waiting for us if we keep the commandments of the Lord. And so I'm going to read now from these notes. Nothing should be held in greater sacredness and honor than the covenant by which the spirits of men, the offsprings of God, are privileged to come into the world and receive mortal tabernacles. It is through this principle that the blessings of immortal glory is made possible. The greatest punishment ever given was proclaimed against Lucifer and his angels, those who followed him. The greatest punishment ever given was proclaimed against Lucifer and to be denied the privilege of mortal bodies forever was pronounced upon him. And this is the greatest curse of all. To be denied the privilege of mortal bodies would be a most terrible affliction or punishment. This great punishment was given and proclaimed against Lucifer and his angels. Lucifer thought he had a plan of salvation. I'm interpolating. And he put forth his plan in the spirit world. And it was one that was going to be of force. And those who followed his plan would be compelled to be saved. In other words, they would lose their independence. Therefore, through his rebellion, he was cast out, and those who were willing to follow him. The greatest punishment ever given was proclaimed. Against him. To be denied the privilege of mortal bodies forever would be a terrific curse. And then to think that we are not only privileged but commanded to assist our Father in the great work of redemption by given to his children as we have attained these blessings ourselves, the plan of salvation, the right to life and continue on to eternal perfection. No innocent soul should be condemned to come into this world under a handicap of illegitimacy. Every child has the right to be born. Every individual who denies them this right is guilty of a mortal sin. I'm going to interpolate. I was sitting on a streetcar one day when a man and a woman entered and they had a little child. Someone on the car knew them very well and had not seen them for some time. And so there was quite a friendly greeting. And the friend said, "And is this your child?" "Yes, this is our child, and this is the only one we're going to have." And I thought, "You silly fool." I didn't say it out loud. After the resurrection, there can be no separation again. Body and spirit become inseparably connected that men may receive a fullness of joy. In no other way can but birth, through birth in this life and the resurrection, can spirits become like our eternal Father. And that's what we come to this world for. To be trained that we might become like Him. Since the kingdom of God is built upon the foundation of marriage and the unity of the family circle, there can be no satisfaction when the family circle is broken. Every soul is entitled to the right to come into the world in a legitimately way. In the way the Father has willed the soul to come. Whosoever takes a course contrary to this is guilty of a most serious crime. Is there any wonder then that the Lord placed the violation of the covenant of marriage and the loss of virtue as second only to the shedding of innocent blood? Is there not then sufficient reason for the severity of the punishment which has been promised those who violate this eternal law? The demand of personal purity is made by the church upon both men and women equally. There is no doubt or double standard of judgment. If purity of life is neglected, said President Joseph F. Smith, all other dangers set in upon us like the rivers of water when the floodgates are opened. Sexual impurity is a deadly sin. There are sins unto death, John informs us. And this is one of them. President Brigham Young said, "The world is fast coming to its destruction because it has not learned the will of God, and nor to keep His commandments and to do His will, and thus prepare yourself to come back into His presence." How wonderful is the peace and joy which fills the soul of a virtuous person. How terrible are the torments of the unvirtuous. They shall have no place in the first resurrection. When the final judgment comes, they are they who remain filthy still. They cannot enter the holy city. They are, as the scriptures say, dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. These will be cast out. When man was first placed upon the earth, He was given the commandment to be fruitful and multiply. No more important commandment was ever given. For, through honorable marriage, spirits are privileged to come into this world and receive tabernacles of flesh and bones. There are multitudes of pure and holy spirits waiting to take tabernacles. Now, fathers and mothers, what is our duty? This is a question asked by President Brigham Young. Then he answered the question, to prepare tabernacles for them, the spirits, to take a course that will not tend to drive those spirits in the families of the wicked, where they will be trained in wickedness, debauchery, and every species of crime. It is the duty of every righteous man and woman to prepare tabernacles for the spirits waiting to come and receive tabernacles of flesh and bones. Instructions given to mothers of the church by President Joseph F. Smith is as follows. I think it is a crying evil that there should exist a sentiment of or a feeling among any members of the church to curtail the birth of their children. I think this is a crime. Wherever it occurs, where husbands and wives are in possession of health and vigor and are free from impurities that would be entailed upon their posterity. I believe that where people undertake to curtail or prevent the birth of their children, that they are going to reap disappointments by and by. I have no hesitancy in saying that I believe this is one of the greatest crimes of the world today. This evil practice. That was recorded in the Relief Society magazine, volume 4, on page 318. When young people marry and refuse to fulfill the commandments given in the beginning of the world, and just as much in force today, they rob themselves of the greatest eternal blessing. If the love of the world and the wicked practices of the world mean more to a man and a woman than to keep the commandments of the Lord in this respect, then they shut themselves off from the eternal blessings of increase. Those who willfully and maliciously design to break this important commandment shall be damned. They cannot have the guidance of the Spirit of the Lord. Small families are the rule throughout the world today. Many parents do not care to be bothered with many children. Yet this commandment given to Adam has never been abrogated or set aside. If we refuse to live by the covenants we make, especially in the hour in the house of the Lord, then we cannot receive the blessings of those covenants in eternity. If the responsibilities of parenthood are willfully avoided here, then how can the Lord bestow upon the guilty the blessings of eternal increase? It cannot be. And they shall be denied such blessings. Now, I wish to ask a question. How will a young married couple feel when they come to the judgment and then discover that there were certain spirits assigned to them and they refused to have them? Moreover, what will be their punishment? And they discover that they have failed to keep a commandment, and spirits awaiting this mortal life were forced to come here elsewhere, are under serious conditions. When these couples are members of the church, in the next world we are to be judged by the things we do or have done. We'll also be punished for things we should have done and did not do. May I make this personal remark? I am the father of 11 children, and to this day every one of them is a faithful member of the church. And all are active. For that is the way they were taught. And they were obedient. They will belong to me and their mothers forever. And are the foundation stones of my kingdom. I said their mothers because I've had other wives. Don't be misunderstanding me. I never had two wives on the earth at the same time. My posterity reaches today over the 100 mark. In 10 generations, how many would that be? I do not know. But it could be a multitude. I regret that so many young couples are thinking today more of successful contraceptives than of having posterity. They will have to answer for their sin when the proper time comes and may actually be denied the glorious celestial kingdom. This world is rapidly coming to its end. The end of the days of wickedness, I mean. When it is fully ripe in iniquity, the Lord will come in the cloud of heaven to take vengeance on the ungodly, for his wrath is kindled against them. Now, do not think he delays his coming. I want to say to you that many of the signs of the coming of the Son of God have been given. Others will be given. And I want to say that I feel that the coming of the Son of Day of God is even now, figuratively speaking, at our doors. The Lord isn't going to tell me when he's coming. He's not going to tell you. He's not going to tell anybody else. For he has made it definitely clear that he is going to come like the thief comes when he's not expected. And it shall come to pass, because of the wickedness of the world, that I will take vengeance upon the wicked, for they will not repent. For the cup of mine indignation is full. For behold, my blood shall not cleanse them if they hear me not. So said the Lord to the prophet Joseph Smith. And this is recorded in the section 29 of the Doctrine and Covenants. May all Latter-day Saint fathers and mothers see to it that they teach their children the sacredness of the marriage covenant. Let them impress upon the children that it is that in no other way than by honoring the covenants of God, among which the covenant of eternal marriage is one of the greatest and mandatory, can they obtain the blessings of eternal life. If they refuse to receive this ordinance and other blessings of the house of God, then shall they be cut off from these higher blessings. They shall wear no crown. They shall have no rule and sway no scepter. They shall be denied the fullness of knowledge and power, and like the prodigal son, they may return again to their father's house, but it will be as servants. Their glory and exaltation shall have no bounds. All things are theirs. That's a quotation I'm taking from the Doctrine and Covenants, section 76. May we all be blessed with the Spirit of the Lord, so we may be directed in His ways. And may the Lord bless the young people starting out in life, so that they may keep every commandment, is my prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.